Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Welcome, Bark Radio listeners. I'm not sure what we have on the agenda today, but I think Terry knows.
I have a question. I love these types of episodes where I surprise Dee with a training sort of thought and see what her opinion is.
Okay.
So, I've been very vocal historically that e-collars, shock collars, anything more than a vibration, I don't support.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's crap.
Mm-hmm.
I read an interesting article that made me go, And specifically, they were trying to train companion animals not to avoid snakes, poisonous snakes.
Right.
And the particular author, I don't even know if they were really a trainer, but the author of the article made some interesting points of using the e-collar. They're in Canada where they have rattlesnakes, and the success that they've had using that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see what your thoughts are, because I'm still largely opposed to it, but rattlesnake versus training with a shock collar makes me go, makes me think.
Yeah, I think that my opinion has kind of been the same over the years and a little bit different than yours. There are a lot of training tools. There are some that I would never use. Choker collar is one of them.
Yeah.
But I have in my life used, on one occasion, an e-collar. My opinion of them is the person using it has to know how, and it has to be for a very specific reason, and you have to know the dog that you're using it on, because you can ruin a dog who's at all soft.
Yeah.
You can't just randomly use these on any dog, because they can ruin a dog. And if you're using them improperly, they can ruin a dog. The way I used one, that one and only time, was with my blonde, my yellow lab Cody, when we were in search and rescue. And we were in wilderness search and rescue, which means that she worked off-leash at long distances. And we hit about a year, when she was about a year old. And that girl loved the woods more than anything on the planet. And when I said come and there was woods involved, she went to the woods and not to me. And that couldn't happen, not if she was going to be a SAR dog. And so I talked to my breeder at the time, and I got an e-collar, and I learned how to use it. And basically, I used it one time. And she went, "Ah, crap, you meant it. You wanted me to come to you. You weren't just kidding around." And after that one time, when I put it on her.
Never needed it again?
No. So it was an effective tool to get something very specific from my dog, who was high drive, high energy, and could be gone in a minute.
Right.
And then what happened, what I was able to do, was get the behavior that I wanted, and then over time, extinguish the collar altogether, because it just became natural for her.
Right.
After that, she started going, "Okay, come means get your butt back to mom." Okay, got it. So
note to self.
That's right. So, you know, again, that in all the years I've had dogs and worked with other people's dogs, that's the only time I've personally ever used one. So I believe that there is a place for them. I think they're overused, and I think they're abused.
Yeah.
And so that's my opinion.
Yeah, what I've seen, my experience, I have never used them. I've observed other people using them who clearly have no idea. And I've seen the damage that they've been able to do to a dog. And, I mean, freaking clueless people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been my experience with it. But I think, you know, what you described, you needed a specific response.
Mm-hmm.
You learned to use the tool. That's what these people aren't doing. They're going to Walmart and they're buying a freaking shock collar.
And then they're just hitting the button.
Yeah, hit that button mm-hmm. every time. That's not how it works. It's not training.
It's not training the dog to do anything except be afraid of you.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. The list.
You had a very almost methodical approach to this,
mm-hmm.
like a trainer. You needed a tool. You had to learn to use the tool. You used it when necessary and only when necessary mm-hmm. for a specific task. And in that case, I could see doing it. In the case of training against poisonous snakes, especially rattlesnakes, because that's hard to survive.
I would use it,
I think.
Absolutely. And here's the deal, too. You have to be wise enough. If that first time, my mindset was it was either going to work or it wasn't. I would not have continued to use it on Cody if it didn't work. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't keep zapping her butt because I knew my dog.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, it's a one-shot deal. I will just give it away or try to take it back or whatever. If it doesn't work this first time, I'm not going to abuse my dog with it.
Right. Yeah.
That's the other piece of it.
In this case, in that case too, that makes perfect sense. But in this case with the poison snakes, I think, you know, I would do that.
So I think the thing is, Terry, it's really, really easy to see a training tool and see the bad pieces of it.
Sure.
And as a trainer, I've seen so many different scenarios with so many different kinds of people, different kinds of dogs, behavior modification that's needed, or starting with puppies or whatever. And what I just know is works for me is I have to be open-minded. I have to use a particular kind of collar, a particular kind of leash for a person and their dog. If that's not working, I have to try something else. I think that that trainers who are just rabid about you can't ever do this or you can't ever do that, I think they're being unfair to their clients. I think that every single situation is different.
Yeah.
And I just want my clients to succeed.
Right.
I want them to be able to walk down the street with their dog on a leash, and that dog's happy and healthy and wagging and not pulling, you know? So that's always my goal.
Yep. That's a good goal.
But that was a really, really good question. I'm glad you brought it up. There are going to be a lot of people who disagree, and that's fine. You know, you don't have to agree with me.
Well,
not a requirement.
Right, exactly. It's not a requirement, but it's good to have the conversations because, you know, for me, I was of the mindset of absolutely no, and then I'm of that mindset a little bit more so now that in the right situation, if I was trained properly mm-hmm. and the dog was appropriate, mm-hmm. that might be a tool for me to use.
Absolutely.
And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, it does. If you just, you got to take it and really look at it, shine the light of day on it. And you know, the sad thing is that they are so readily available. And now there are cheap models.
Yeah.
And people do, of course, abuse them left and right.
Right.
But so do, there's so much in the history of dog training, so much aversive training, so much of, you know, you're going to do what I want you to do because I'm bigger than you and I can make you do it,
yeah.
You know? And that doesn't require an e-collar. That just requires a really mean person, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, so much about just getting to know dogs and your dog and working with your dog and communicating with them and reading them, you know? I think if everybody could just, if we could make it mandatory for everyone who's going to get a dog ever in their lives to just get X amount of knowledge, and it would start with reading canine body language. And
yeah.
I know that's one of your big things. It's huge. They tell us so much, and we usually don't hear them.
Yeah. Most people don't know how and don't care to find out how to do that. And it's powerful. If you have that information, the whole world opens up in the dog arena.
It does. And trainers and behaviors would be out of business because in the days when I was doing a lot of in-home training, I called it obedience training, but what it was behavior modification because people rarely called me until there was a problem.
Right.
And, you know, you walk in and you go, okay, this is really silly. You're letting a 4-pound thing with legs run your house. Okay, plan B. Anyway, yeah, there's so much to understand about them, and they so willingly give it up. Dogs do. And they love us, and they will, absolutely. They're smart. They'll take advantage of us if they can.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things, you know. It's like, guys, it may be cute when your dog comes and puts the ball in your lap and barks their brains out at you, and you go, okay, let's go play ball. Well, your dog just won that one.
Yeah,
the
that's
dog is
the
training
wrong behavior.
You. So, yeah, man, I mean, we could go off in every different direction on this. But I think the key with everything, Terry, is love your dog, work your dog, train your dog. You know, if you don't know how, get a professional to help you, get in some classes, whatever. Just make the relationship you've got with your dog better.
Yeah, and it's not that hard. It really isn't. It just takes a little bit of energy.
It does, and man, the rewards are so huge.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, all right, I think that's it.
Y'all take care.
See ya.